You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Respect my authority. Marking the difference between form and substance when it comes to discipline and respect in the martial arts. To me, no single aspect of martial arts training is more important than the cultivation of discipline and respect. Proper discipline is absolutely foundational. It makes the instructor's job easier in many ways, not the least of which is that it makes it less necessary for him or her to repeatedly ask for the student's attention. It also helps the student's focus, reduces friction with other students, and helps to demonstrate that the student possesses some modicum of understanding that martial arts training is frequently a group effort, and that there are things more important than just him or her. And of course, most important of all, is that discipline translates positively to every other facet of your life and truly makes you a better person. However, there are many aspects, symbols, and gestures of discipline and respect in the martial arts, and indeed across cultures, that are subjective rather than objective. There are also a great many aspects, symbols, and gestures that, again, depending on your cultural perspective, may indicate a disrespectful attitude and a lack of discipline. For example, in many styles of martial arts, it's considered disrespectful to sit with your legs extended to the front, showing the soles of your bare feet. In these cultures, this is equivalent in its level of implied insult to mooning someone in our culture. In martial arts styles from other cultures, touching someone with your left hand or handing them something with your left hand shows the same level of disrespect. There are martial arts schools in which making direct eye contact with the instructor is a grave insult. There are others in which it is considered disrespectful to not make eye contact with the instructor. This confusing problem extends beyond the Asian martial arts. In Western fencing, it's customary to wear a glove on your weapon hand, and unusual to wear a glove on the non-weapon hand. My fencing teacher, John Yarger, however, likes to wear a glove on each hand. This allows him to switch his blade from one hand to the other without taking the time to put a glove on the other hand. He's a pretty good fencer with his left hand, and an outstanding fencer with his right hand. Knowing John and his sense of fashion, I suspect he also likes the sartorial symmetry. The apparatus used in electrical scoring in fencing requires your weapon to be attached to an electrical cord that also runs down the sleeve of your uniform and out the back. This makes it difficult to shake hands with your opponent before and after the competition with your weapon hand. As a result, it has become customary to shake non-weapon hands before and after the bout. On more than one occasion, one of John's tournament opponents refused to shake his hand after a bout because he had a glove on the non-weapon hand. In each case, they told him that their instructor had taught them never to shake a gloved hand. To me, this is a silly misinterpretation of the reason behind the rule. I suspect that another reason for this was bitterness, as John frequently dominated his opponents in competition. I myself have been berated by tournament officials for wearing a kung fu uniform to an open tournament put on by a karate organization. On one such occasion, the official told me that wearing a kung fu uniform to his tournament was disrespectful. No such indication was made in the literature advertising the tournament. These were open tournaments advertised as open to all styles. This was in the 1970s, and I suspect that the official, who was clean-cut and clean-shaven, as were all the other officials, was more offended by my beard and long hair than by my uniform. On another occasion, a gentleman paid a visit to my academy. He was, or claimed to be, a high-level instructor in a major martial arts organization. The purpose of his visit was to solicit me and my academy. At the time, I was not affiliated with any organization and didn't feel the need to be. I was happy with how my school was doing. I had quality students at every level. I saw no upside to joining an organization. But I sat down with this gentleman and politely heard him out. I don't know how he found out about my academy. This was before the internet. I suppose he could have found it in the yellow pages at the library in some other city. He was not from my hometown. There was very little he could have known about my academy or me other than a listing in the yellow pages. Nevertheless, he said to me,
"You need discipline. You need Taekwondo. If you join my organization, I will make you a third-degree black belt."
Now, how did he come to the conclusion that I lacked discipline? And more importantly, how did he know that I deserved to be a third-degree black belt? I thanked the gentleman for his offer and politely declined. I suspect that no matter how polite I was, he considered my refusal to be disrespectful. His face grew dark and angry.
"You cannot refuse me," he said. "You need this. Your refusal insults me."
This is a true story. I had never seen this gentleman before. He showed up out of the blue and with no warning and made my day much more interesting. I wonder if he realized that he was acting like a comic book supervillain. Now I ask you, of the two of us, who was the one who showed less respect and discipline in this conversation? To me, what is in the martial artist's mind is far more important than his words or gestures. It's perfectly possible for a student to follow all the rules of etiquette of your academy and style and still show more subtle yet obvious signs of disrespect. I've seen many a high-level student shower his instructor with a sickening level of fawning, obsequious, toadying ass-kissing, only to badmouth him when outside of his presence. It's also perfectly possible for a student whose intent is utterly respectful towards you to not remember the traditional forms of etiquette. Unfortunately, many people in the martial arts either don't grasp or don't care that substance is much more meaningful than form. Don't misunderstand me. I think that learning the traditional etiquette for any martial art is an important part of the student's education. The problem arises when an instructor unduly berates or punishes a student for violations of etiquette that stem from ignorance and inexperience, rather than from a truly disrespectful attitude. Rather than screaming and assigning humiliating punishment, educate the student in the proper words, postures, and gestures of respect. In a very real sense, thinking of your own particular form of etiquette as objective and superior to others is the same as saying, "My culture is superior to your culture." You can't get more disrespectful than that. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.